and welcome.
My friends, today we celebrate the baptism of our Lord that formally ends Christmas season. And also today, the first Sunday of ordinary time, like we begin formally today. Also, greetings to you from Father Brian. He is in Rome at the Vatican at the moment. Who knows? He may come back with a red skull cap. You know, 2 years back, when I came to this country, I came on a working visa. Working visa. Even now I'm on a working visa. And when I was issued that working visa, you know, there was a nice kind of a certificate like, and it has two portions. The upper portion gives my name, passport number, I'm Indian citizen, and I'm employed by Diocese of Wheeling, Charleston, and all that. And this visa is valid from such a date and all that details it does give. Then terms and conditions. Then it has the below portion. We're supposed to be torn off and given to me that portion, the below one. The upper portion is supposed to be kept with the employer. The interesting thing is, the portion that below, which is supposed to be given to me, says, I am an alien. It says, this piece should be given to the alien. Oh my God, I got a shock. I'm an alien. I never thought I was an alien, because I always thought aliens means they do not belong to this world. You know, some kind of a terrestrial creatures come at night and, you know, do some work and go back. So I got a shock on my life. I'm an alien. Then I looked for a dictionary. You know what it has the meaning of alien. It confirmed my doubts, and it says the extraterrestrial, you know, beings, they do not belong to this world. But then when I looked for another dictionary, it says it also means foreigner, you know, of a foreigner or a kind of a stranger. I said, okay, foreigner is little good, doesn't matter. I am a foreigner, no doubt. But then I need now work on my ID. Identity. I don't have an identity of my own in this country. So when I was asked to go and line up for, you know, get my social security number, which I got, and I was happy, oh, I have now a number, you know, so I am one of those at least accounted for, good. Then that was not all. I was also asked to go and get my ID and a driving license. Then when I went there, they told me, we will be issuing you real ID. Wow, I said, the real ID? That is very good. So they asked me, you all submit all my details. Then they said, but just now we will be giving you a temporary driving license. When you go come for tests and pass, we'll give you a permanent ID, and that will be a real ID. I said, okay. I agreed for that too. And I took that and did all my learnings and tests and all passed. And I was issued real ID. I was told this is real ID. And I saw that it's a beautiful golden color star. And, you know, I said it's real ID. And it is federally recognized ID. I said, wow, finally behold, I have an ID. I can show now I have an ID that wherever I go. Friends, today I'm also talking. My sermon is also today on real ID. My sermon is on real ID. What is the real ID? Who issues us the real ID? The gospel reading talks about real ID. We have John the Baptist, who was a temple priest. His job was to cut lambs, animals, and incense the altar. That was his job. But then he abandons that, and he goes in search of real ID. He was not satisfied with his ID as a son of a temple priest. He goes in search of his real ID, and he ends up in River Jordan, and there he starts baptizing. Instead of asking for forgiveness of sins through cutting animals, he proposes baptizing the water is the real forgiveness of sins. And then, that is not all. He sees Jesus and also introduces his real ID. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God." He points out to him and says, "He's the Lamb of God." Means he's no more the lamb which will be cut in the temple, Jerusalem temple, but then a definitive lamb is around. Who will be cut? Who will give his life for ransom for many? He will shed his blood. A definitive temple, a definitive sacrifice in the person of Jesus. That is the real idea. And he gets for that recognition. What is the recognition? The Father tells him, "Behold, he is my beloved son. I am well pleased in him." Friends, that was the real ID of Jesus. That he was the beloved son of the Father in whom he is well pleased. You and I also are baptized. We also have heard that voice, may not be that louder, but quietly in our hearts and minds, that we are beloved sons and daughters of our God, our Heavenly Father. That we are made sons and daughters of the triune God, Father, Son, and the Spirit. In a word, baptism. The word baptism means immersion. That is holding a person, really dipping into the water like that, and bringing up. That is immersion. Baptism means immersion. Even now, some Protestant churches do that. They take the person to a pond or a river or a, you know, place where sufficient water is there to dip the person totally and bring up like that. They don't do like us, we pour some water here, you know, on baptismal font. They don't do that. Even now they do total immersion. What is the meaning? Meaning means we are immersing ourselves into the life of the Trinity, grafting ourselves on to Christ. That is the meaning. Some years back, I was in Singapore. Singapore is one of the Asian countries. And of course, for us, they are also aliens. But then I was there in Singapore. Once I noticed them there when I went. The Catholic people there, they always come and introduce you themselves, tell I am so and so. Then they always tell the date of baptism. I was baptized so and so. I was baptized on such and such a date. They always tell their date of baptism. I started wondering why everybody is telling me I was baptized such and such a date, such and such a date. It intrigued me a bit. Then I satisfied myself thinking that I think they are really proud of their date of baptism. Later on, when I read and reflected on that, I realized that. In the sense, the date of baptism is our real date of birth. Because we are taking birth in the family of the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. But sadly, how many of us remember our date of birth? How many of us remember? We may not even remember, may not even know. But then that is a real date of birth. That is a real birth that we need to remember and also celebrate. Why not? Because that is the day when we are made beloved, our real ID, beloved son and beloved daughter. Do we feel we are beloved sons and daughters? How many of us honestly feel, sitting here, that we are indeed beloved sons and daughters? There is somewhere always a disconnect. Why don't we feel that way? I have brought this book, actually. I'm going to little bit talk to you about this book. This book is written by one theologian, Dr. Matthew Brenninger. He is teaching in the Catholic University of Steubenville. You know, Dr. Scott Hahn and Dr. John Bergsma, very reading theologians. They have their own a society called St. Paul's Society, and they organize conference for priests from America, and priests from Canada also attend. I attended two of their conferences. They come and take class for us, lectures, and 5 days we are made to live together. And believe me, 350, 400 priests attend at a time. Two conferences per year in America. But what is important to say is this. This man, he's a theologian, psychologist, Catholic psychologist, a very well-researched, learned theologian who comes and gives talk to us. What is his research? What is his finding? He responds that whole question of beloved sons and daughters. Do we feel we are beloved sons and daughters? Why don't we feel? His argument is this, very briefly. He says, our feeling of being loved as beloved by God, our son or daughter, is determined by the kind of a love and care we received from our own family and home. I repeat, our feeling of being loved by our God, our Heavenly Father, is largely determined by how much we receive, love we receive from our own parents. That's what he argues in this book. By and large, yes, we make a lot of efforts to make our children happy. There's no doubt about that. We have gone through, our children are going through now. We make them happy. We provide them food, very good. Provide them clothing, excellent. Provide them whatever they ask. But then all these things that we provide, it keeps them occupied. Keeps them occupied. But then are they satisfied? Not, we are not very sure. We give everything to them except love. What is the real they are longing for is love and Jesus. It is Jesus they are whom they are looking for. It is love that they are looking for. And not so much gadgets may keep them, as I said, occupied, may not be satisfied. And that is what very clear makes us a kind of an alienation, creates a kind of alienation within ourselves and with one another and with God. That later on when the children come here, I may tell them, preach them a very good homily on how much God is loving us, God is our loving Father, Blessed Mother is like our mother and all that. It sounds Greek to them. They don't understand what it means. They have never experienced what love is. Now when I say God is loving Father, good. Yeah, God is a loving Father. They may accept, they nod their head. But now, do they really feel God is their loving Father? Do we feel God is our loving Father? And this book says all of us suffer. It is not the children who are growing up now. We also would have gone through that way. All suffer. Some accept, some do not accept. Some accept and try to change. Some do not accept. They think it is normal, it is okay. Carry on with life. Whereas the baptism is supposed to be making us that beloved, giving us the real ID of our Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother. I was also making a research on last 2023, year 2023, it is said 7.3 million in America, 7.3 million were single moms. Same year, 2023, 23 million children were single parent children. 23 million children are single parent children. I appreciate we are all trying our best to look after our children or bringing them well. I have no complaints on that, but does that really take care of their needs, real need, so that they may have the real ID? Does that really take care? That question that we need to ask. So when the gospel reading tells us today, when Jesus received the baptism, when Jesus was praying, the heavens were opened and the voice came. In the same way, we need that baptism, that's the sacraments. We need that praying so that heaven may open and may accept us as beloved sons and daughters. That we may really love one another, care for one another. That love for the sake of love, real. So that we may feel that real ID that God is providing us as his beloved sons and daughters. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.